that will never wear out for all eternity. This really is the Niagara. It is the source of God's all-sufficient, unwearying, unfailing grace. We are conscious of time at the close of this year, and 2,000 years or so after the writing of this gospel, John 3:16, God's love has not diminished. It has not declined, but it has saved millions of precious souls. And it all begins in the heart of God. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. What a privilege to bring the message of the gospel day by day here on radio, 5:50, 5 a.m., and 5 p.m. Now today the message is on the greatest text in the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I trust that today as we bring that message that the Lord will write it on your heart and that you will know that you are divinely loved, saved from perishing, and that you are brought to have and enjoy the gift of eternal life. And we will be singing today, "It Is Well With My Soul." That's the Whitfield Choir. And also, "It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus." Wonderful hymns of the faith. We also have some words by Mr. Spurgeon on the subject of God's marvelous grace, free grace. You wonder why it's doubled up as free grace? Grace has to be free by its very nature. But we say free because we love to emphasize it. And our quote from Mr. Spurgeon will explain that today. It is a joy to have you on the program, and I trust that as we close the year, that God will draw near, minister to your heart, and bless you abundantly. And if I can be of personal help, make sure you be in touch. Give me a call, 604-576-1091. 604-576-1091. Now, stay tuned with this hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." On Tuesday, I came along to church and I had a few things to do, and I checked the meal and I received a letter from an internet radio listener. Well, it's a radio program that because she's in Toronto, she hooks in by internet and able to listen to it. And she wrote in the letter that she heard me first preach in 1984 in Toronto Church. Now, that must have been when Beulah and I had just arrived in Canada, and we had spent a few weeks there before, in June of 84, before we arrived here early July. And she knew the text that I had preached. It was John 3:16. And she said that she had memorized that text as a girl growing up, but never knew or understood the love of God for her until that day. That was perhaps the sweetest, most encouraging Christmas gift that I could have received. That's like sowing seed which 30 years later is still bringing forth fruit. And I was planning to preach today on God's gift of salvation. And of course, when I got on my knees and I thought on that letter, I knew I had to preach John 3:16 today. Because here is, really, if you are stranded on an island and you only had one verse in all of the Bible that you could depend on, well, John 3:16 would give you everything you would need to be saved and sustained in your faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, it's not often that we get stuck for words. Well, maybe it's often, more often than we think. It's not always that we have the right word. There used to be a radio program, and it was called There Is a Word for That. And it was always to try and instruct us that for every discipline in life, there is a proper term. In the horticultural world, think on that. If you were to study agriculture, horticulture, the first thing you have to do is almost learn Latin, because you have all those long Latin names. Just walk around a nursery and you'll see this little bush and this plant, and it's got this long Latin name. There's a special word that people in the business, people in that field of study or discipline, they use specifically. When it comes to preaching the love of God, you'll find that in the English language there are not many synonyms, not many like words that help us. In the Greek language there are a number, and the key one, the one that is used here in John 3:16 by the Spirit of God when inspiring the Scripture, is that word agapeo. Now, Americans say it differently from me, and I can't learn their way, and they can't learn mine, so I stick with it. Agapeo, agape love. The love that burns in the heart of God for you and for me, for the salvation of sinners. Now, the wonder of this kind of love is that it is not the love of God to his friends, or to those who love him in return, but it is to those who hate him, who are his enemies. Romans 8 tells us about the enmity of the carnal man. And this is the mark of the fall and the depravity of man, that little man is holding his fist against God and fighting him all the way. They fight his name, they fight his presence in the world. Scientists want to deny him. They want to throw God out the window, and let's do this experiment without God. And all the way, man resists the knowledge of God, and of course, God's grace, God's infinite goodness. Albert Barnes, when he spoke on this subject, he said, "This does not mean that God approves the conduct of wicked rebels when he loves them, but rather it is the mystery of his grace.
in spite of their defiance, in spite of the fact that they would murder God if they could, as they did his son. I don't have to go into any theology today to tell you that man would murder God if he could. They've already done it, crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And if they would murder the Son, they would likewise murder God as well. Maybe there's one here today and you've got murder in your heart against God. You've got a defiant attitude. You've got a heart that resists. In a nutshell, you are an enemy of God. But I can preach to you the love of God in 25 words. John 3:16. And here in this text, we have the statement of the ages that will never wear out for all eternity. This really is the Niagara. It is the source of God's all-sufficient, unwearying, unfailing grace. We are conscious of time at the close of this year, and 2,000 years or so after the writing of this gospel, John 3:16, God's love has not diminished. It has not declined, but it has saved millions of precious souls. And it all begins in the heart of God. Now, we dare not begin in your heart or my heart, for what is in our hearts would only condemn us. But God's grace and God's love will marvelously save us. Now, I like good preaching outlines, and I want to give you what I have today to try and open up this text in simple yet sufficient language. There is here the measure of his love. God gave. What did he give? The best gift ever. There's the merit of his love, and we'll find out that means its purchasing power, its value, its worth. And then the mandate of his love. Whosoever. So if you can get those three key words in your mind, it will help us in the preaching here today. The measure, the merit, and the mandate. How do you measure the love of God? How do you put it on the scales of your mind and begin to grasp where it begins, where it ends, and how marvelous it is? Now, what he gave is the measure of his love. You probably experienced that this week. Someone gives you a pencil and say, "I love you." Now, if it's a little tiny tot and that exhausts all their resources, you accept it. But if it was a millionaire that gives you a pencil, you would say, "Well, you love me? Really?" You would question it. And when the infinite God, the creator of all the world, tells us that he loves us, how does he display it? Not in things, not in earthly riches, not even in health sometimes, not by all the things that people call success, but by the gift of his own son, his other self. Now, Jesus was his only son. And we're drawn back to the picture of Abraham when he was challenged by God to slay his own son and sacrifice him. Thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, if Abram had a whole family of boys, you could say, well, he could endure it. But one only son, and that was the test of Abram's obedience to God. Now, the father did not give it as a test, but as a display. He gave his son to tell the world for all time that in the heart of God there is infinite desire. I'm changing the word love to desire. I'm turning the word from love because I want to give you another handle to lay hold on this action of God. He caused his son to leave heaven's glory and come into this world to be the savior of men because there was in the heart of God the strong, full desire, I really, 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 really want to save men from their sin. This is not an experiment. This is my watertight plan, and I'm sending my only son. He was his begotten son. And of course, we lay hold on the term monogenes. That is the term behind God's only begotten Son. He was begotten, not made. God was the Father, Jesus was His Son, but they are both eternal. Christ had no spirit birthday. He had a body birthday when He was born in Bethlehem. But in eternity, when Christ existed with the Father, they existed together. He was of the same nature, monogenes, of the same nature, eternal. And God gave His own Son. He was also His bosom companion. In Proverbs 8, it says, "Then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him." There's just a little window into the counsel and communion there was between God the Father and the Son. Now we know that God is spirit. He doesn't literally have a bosom. But if you're going to take human language and try and depict the fellowship that there is between God and the Son, this is how to do it. You talk about God the Son being in the bosom of the Father from all eternity, and God took delight and pleasure in the communion with His own Son. But for a time, He gave His Son to come down into this world. Now, with Christ, of course, God has given all of His covenant blessings. Jesus is the big box gift, but inside that gift are all the blessings that come to believers in the Lord Jesus. Salvation, sanctification, justification, adoption, you can go right down the line. Every covenant mercy is wrapped up in the gift of His Son. Romans 8:32, that He delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And so if you have Christ, you have everything. Everything to stand with God and live for Him. If you don't have Christ, you have nothing. If you miss the gift of His Son, you have nothing. You're lost. You have no hope. This world will fail you. It's vanity. I was just reading this morning Ecclesiastes 1, and the definition of the word vanity is just simply breath. Breath. That's what this world is. That's what the material things of this world. It's just a breath. And we're but a flower fading. And these things will fail us. There will come an hour when they will show us nothing. I saw a picture this week of Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple. And I must find the quote of his own words. He was a very empty man. The world would say he is the one who has done more to change the IT world more than anyone else. But when you see him a sickly man, and he's counting the hours of life that is left in this world, he died an empty man. He followed the New Age notions, had no time for Christianity. He's a lost soul today, hopeless. He followed and ran after a breath, a vanity. If you're doing that today, you're missing the gift of God's Son. I call you to give it up, surrender, turn, repent. That's why Christ preached repentance. Turn away from the vanity, the empty things, and turn to the one who can give you everything you need to live with God for all eternity. That's the measure of the love that we have here in John 3:16. We come to the merit of His love. And by the word merit, we simply mean buying power. If you go into a store with a $100 bill and you say to the storekeeper, "I'm looking for a gift for my wife, what will this buy me?" And the storekeeper may help you and take you around. "Well, you can buy this and this and this and this, and that's beyond your budget. You can't buy that. That's too much. You've got to stay over in this area and look at these things." This is the buying power that this has. So when we talk about the merits of the Lord Jesus, We're really talking about the purchasing power of his life, death, and his resurrection. And through the merit of sacrifice by his cross, of course, he brings sinners into glory. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that we might not perish. And the whole program was to purchase us from perishing. And it was that perishing men would enter into fellowship bought by, purchased by, the merits of the Lord Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And there is the purchasing power. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is just an opportunity to give you a few extracts from Mr. Spurgeon on the subject of grace. If heaven were by merit, it would never be heaven to me. For if I were in it, I should say, I am sure I am here by mistake. I am sure this is not my place. I have no claim to it. But if it is by grace and not of works, then we may walk into heaven with boldness. And again he says, observe the rain which drops from heaven. It falls on the desert as well as on the fertile field. It drops on the rock that will refuse its fertilizing moisture, as well as on the soil that opens its gaping mouth to drink it in with gratitude. It falls on the streets of the city, where it is not required, and where men will even curse it for coming. And it falls not more freely where the sweet flowers have been panting for it, and the withering leaves have been rustling forth their prayers. Such is the grace of God. It does not visit us because we ask for it, much less because we deserve it, but as God wills it. In another poor part, he says, it is an amazing thing. We may have been the instrument of sending others down to the pit, yet we may by grace, amazing grace, be delivered ourselves from the horrible doom of sinners. And yet another quote, suppose that God saved men on account of their merits. Where would you drunkards be? Where would you swearers be?
you have been unclean and unchaste, and you whose hearts have cursed God, and who even now do not love him, where would you be? But when it is all of grace, then all your past life, however black and filthy it may be, need not keep you from coming to Jesus. And a final quote. We are accustomed not only to say grace, but free grace. It has been remarked that this is a tautology. So it is. But it is a blessed one, for it makes the meaning doubly clear and leaves no room for mistake. We feel no compunction in ringing such a silver bell twice over. Grace, free grace. Lest any should imagine that grace can be otherwise than free. We shall continue to say not only grace, but free grace, so long as we preach. And yes, indeed, we praise God for the gospel that is the free grace of God to sinners. And I invite you to come believing to the cross, trusting in the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive grace, amazing grace, free grace from the hand of the Lord. Trust him today. Call on him as your Savior, and be saved. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us again today. We come to the end of the year, and we recognize God's grace, God's goodness in allowing us to bring the Lord's Word to you, wherever you may be, in your home, your car, or perhaps in some very different situation, working, boating. Thankfully, the airwaves can take the message of the gospel to many, many places. And so we give God the thanks for this opportunity to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I want to give a personal word of thanks for all those who have supported this ministry right through the year. We're thankful for those who donate sometimes monthly or occasionally, and we are very thankful for the support and the help to this ministry. If you would consider giving a donation at the close of this year, please send it to our Cloverdale FPC, and the address of the church is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. The phone number for if you wish to give us a call, it's 604-576-1091. And our website, where you can also donate, is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for joining with us on the program today and each day right through this year of 2016. We trust that the Lord will bless you, encourage you, and above all, that he will save souls and bring glory to his name through the gospel of our Lord Jesus.